talking about dating and marriage, and we're going to talk about Chatchanis today. Chatchanis has a lot of areas in Hashkafa and Halacha, and it's very appropriate for Kabbalah Satorah. Shavuos is just right around the corner. So let's begin. It's not in front of you. Let's begin with a nice piece from Rav Kluger. He has a sefer on Nisuin, and he opens up the discussion of a Maisa that's brought down in the Siach Sarfei Kodesh, where the brother of the Sfas Emes of Shimon Alter wanted to make a shidduch with one of his children with his brother's one of his children, the Sfas Emes. So it explains in the sefer that Rotze v'choshik l'shadich im achiv ha-kadosh ba'al Sfas Emes. He wanted to make a shidduch with his brother, have the cousins marry each other. V'dibar imo ba'atzmo. He himself spoke to the Sfas Emes. She wrote l'shadich imo v'heshivo. The Sfas Emes responds, shenimtza b'torah. We find in the Torah, Shekadosh Baruch Hu hichsiak Torah kadosha ba'atzmo livnei Esav. The Kadosh Baruch Hu tried giving the Torah to Bnei Esav, and he tried Bnei Yishmael, and all the various nations, l'kablo, to have them receive the Torah, v'lo kiblu. They didn't accept it. Aval, the Yisrael, explains to Sfas Emes, when it came to Klal Yisrael, haya ayde Moshe beinu lav ha-shalom, hasirsu, he was the middleman, he was the broker, bein Yisrael la'avim, shebashamayim v'kiblu, because there was a broker, because there was a shadchan in between, the Sfas Emes explained that you can't go directly, the parents can't be direct, it needs to be a middleman, it needs to be a seer, so it needs to be some broker. So he understood that this wasn't going to be a good shidduch, and then from that point on, he always used a shadchan for making shidduch. So if Kluger goes on to explain that we find in Matan Torah, so Kadosh Baruch Hu Nasan Kadosh Baruch Hu Es HaTorah Li'Yisrael, Daikai De'Yisirser. He specifically had a broker, had a middleman, had a shadchan, Shezem Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu was the shadchan between Kadosh Baruch and Klal Yisrael. Kamo Kein Kol Chasen V'Kala, Tzrichin Leskashu B'neim Daika Aide Mimutsa Shu HaShadchan. When it comes to Chasen and Kala, a boy and a girl, when it comes to dating, it has to be specifically through a middleman, he explains. So we say, Ilai Yaderech She Nasim Kishri Shiduchim L'lo Shadchan B'in Time, if there is no middleman, if there is no shadchan. So it says, Azai Moral Hishtaf shows the certain equality, the parallel between Chasen and Kala. We know that men and women are opposites. Chasen and Kala are opposites. And it can't be that the two of them could just connect without there being a Shadchan in between. But since there's a need for a Shadchan, he explains, it shows that the Chasen and Kala are completely different. They're Rachuk. A Chasen's Rachuk Kala. You can't even fathom putting two opposite creatures together unless there's someone who's trying to broker. This is exactly what we find in Matan Torah, explains. Kadosh Baruch Hu wanted to give the Torah to Am Yisrael. There's such a big difference, that's an understatement, obviously. The difference between mankind, Klal Yisrael, and Kadosh Baruch Hu, one can't even describe. Being Gilui Habor Le'Nivrav, between a Kadosh Baruch Hu, the Borei Olam, and us, the creatures. So the only way it could have been, the only way Kadosh Baruch Hu could have given the Torah, Tzrichenes Nishmas HaTzadik Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu, the greatest tzaddik, was the only way to somehow broker between Kadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael, to give us the Torah. Shenimlach HaKadosh Baruch Hu Nishmosem Shetzadikim, B'chdei She'ashadchin Limtzo L'Yisrael HaTorah. So that's the way it has to be. Goes on to explain that many times the Kutim Aran is brought down, that the Das is Meshadich HaShiduchim, because as we said, Shidduchim are opposite. Men and women, Chasen and Kala, they're two opposite beings, two opposite creatures. And unless it's a Shadchan, you couldn't fathom putting A and B together, boy and girl together. We find by the Avos and the Imos that they were opposites of each other. And they had to be opposites to help complement each other. Avram, who was the Midah of Chesed, had to marry Sarah, who was the Midah of Gvura, the two different Midahs. Avram was all-inclusive, and Sarah Imena was very strong in Din and Gvura. You can't put these two opposites together unless there's some type of shadchan. Yitzchak, who was the midah of Gvur and Pachad Yitzchak, he had to marry Rivka. Eliezer was looking for one who's a Baas Chesed, because the Chesed has to balance out the Gvur. So you always need these opposites coming together, and the only way to broker between two opposites is when you have a shadchan in between. So it's true of marriage, it's true of the Torah as well. And that's why he goes on to explain further when it comes to a shir, for a person to learn. So just like Moshe Rabbeinu had to teach Klal Yisrael the Torah, you have to go to a Rebbe, to a Tzaddik. The Pasuk says, Ki Sifsei Kohen Yishmu Das V'Torah. And the Rosh HaTevos of Sifsei Kohen Yishmu Das is the Rosh HaTevos of Shidduch. Das v'Torah. Sifsei Kohen Yishmu Das v'Torah is the Rosh Hashanah Shidduch. That to be able to hear Torah, to understand the Torah from such a high level, from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there must be a shadchim in between, to broker. So Moshe Rabbeinu was the seer, so he was the broker, he was the shadchim. So you have, interesting, if you take a look inside now, number one, the Medrash tells in Parshas Vayetze, the Rabbi Yehuda Bar Simon, Pasach, he started to darshan the Pasach in Tehillim, Elokim Moshev Yechidim Baisa. Kadosh Baruch Hu, he places Yechidim, places individuals in the base, in the house. And Mitrona Shalas Rabbi Yossi Bar Chalafta, one time an individual, a woman asked Rabbi Yossi Bar Chalafta, she says to him, Amru lo, l'kama yamim bara Kadosh Baruch Hu Zolam? How long did it take for Kadosh Baruch Hu to create the world? So he explains, they're very simple. Amru lo, sheshes yamim. Ki sheshes yamim asa Hashem asa shemayim es haaretz. It took 6 days. So now the world's been created, and it's around for a few thousand years now. So she was curious, Amru lo, mahi, mahu osa, me osa shav ad achshav. It's been thousands of years since the world was created, almost 6,000 years. What is Kadosh Baruch Hu doing the rest of his time? So the Gemara about the Zohar tells us that there's a certain Seder Hayom, HaKadosh Baruch Hu learns, and he makes sure there's parnasa for everyone. But the Medrash here in Vayetze writes that Rabbi Yossi Bar Chalafta responded to this woman, Amr lo, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ziyoshev U'mezaveg Zivugim. He sits all day long, and he makes Shidduchim. It's not a stira to the Gemara in Avodah Zohar that he learns. HaKadosh Baruch Hu could do multiple things, infinite amount of things at one time. But one of the things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu uses time for is his Yoshev Mezavig Zivugim. Bitel Shaploni Laploni, Ishtel Shaploni Laploni. This daughter of so and so goes to this individual, and this wife, and that. Mamona Shaploni Laploni, and this money goes to that person. He's always making all types of Shidduchim, whether it's husband and wife, whether it's monetary issues. So she says back to Rabbi Yossi Bar Chalafta, Amru lo, Vidahu Umnase, that's his trade, that's what the Kadosh Baruch Hu does. I could also make kama vodim, kama shvachos. I could also mix and match. I could make shaduchim with my servants, my slaves. Yeshli l'shakala niyachol esdabing. Very easy. It's very simple. It's a shakala. A small amount of time. I say, listen, you know, Reuven and Leah, you get together and you make shaduchim. What's so hard about that? So Rabbi Yossi Bar Chalafta responds to her. Amar lo imkala hibeinach. If it's very light in your mind, you should realize. Then the eyes of a Kadosh Baruch Hu kashahu lifnei a Kadosh Baruch Hu kakriyas yamsa. It's not just a mixing and match and randomly choosing a girl and boy to be with together. There's a lot of a das that goes in involving who's going to make it. So that's how Kadosh Baruch Hu spends his time. His yoshev u'mezavig zivugim. We have this also in the Gemara in Brachos towards the end of Brachos. The Gemara tells us based on the pasuk of Adam and Chava. It says vayivyeh el Adam that Kadosh Baruch Hu brought Chava to Adam HaRishon. So what does that mean, he brought her to Adam HaRishon? So Amar Rabbi Yirmiyah ben Elazar, Melamed Shenasa Kadosh Baruch Hu, Shoshvin LaAdam HaRishon, Mikan Limda Torah, Derech Eretz. We see from here that the way of man should be, Shiyachzer Gadol Imakatan, Bishoshvinus Bal Yeralo. What's Shoshvinus? Shoshvin, says Rashi, is Mishtada B'chupasa V'zivugo. Kadosh Baruch Hu was involved with making the chuppah, and making the relationship. Now, obviously, Adam and Chava had no choice. It wasn't much of a, you know, no one else to choose from. But whatever that means, the Kadosh Baruch Hu was involved in setting up the chuppah, and making sure they get along with each other, and making sure they're compatible, and they have the same hashkafa, all of that, he's mishtada b'chupaso b'zivugo, and that's what it means. So Kadosh Baruch Hu himself was involved in the very first one, and Yoshev, Mezavig, Zivugim, from that point on, for the rest of time, he's busy making shaduchim. So this is a beginning. And many, many tzaddikim spent their time being involved in Shidduchim. It's brought down the Maharil. The great Maharil writes in his Hilchos Chanukah that he would actually make a lot of money from Shadchanus. He'd spend time doing Shadchanus and make a lot of money. They collect money. We'll explain some of the dinim of Mamonus as it relates to Shadchanus, but he'd spend his time making Zivugim. And many Gedolim would actually use the money that they made from Shadchanus to buy the Lulav and Esog Dafka. So why that money would they use? So they explained, brought down by the Svarim, that money that came from Shadchanus was considered honestly earned money. It was Yasher. As opposed to the money they got from Rabbanus, so from giving Shirum, that wasn't so much B'yashus. Why not? Because you should be teaching, it shouldn't be for any money, you should be teaching L'Shem Shemayim. But Shadchanus, The time spent in matching this person and that person, that's considered mammon b'yashrus. And they would use that money dafka to buy the mitzvahs of dalmi. This is a big in. Yeah, so the way it works, just like, you know, people have, you know, there's an end for everything. People only live to a certain amount of time. So at the same time, when it comes to marriages, not every marriage is meant to be forever. Correct. Yeah. Correct. But again, it could be they meant to be together for just a few years. We don't know the cheshbonos of everything. But it could be just for a few years. It could be for a lifetime. Who knows? Now, obviously, everyone should get married with the intent of being married forever. But who knows how Kadosh Baruch Hu runs the world? And the truth is, some say part of the money that shatchanis people get paid for shatchanis is for all the effort they put into those that didn't work out. You spend so much time, you know, you're working on a deal in business. You're working on a deal and everything's you brought to the table. And last minute, after hours and weeks and months, doesn't work out. You don't get paid for that on Melis. Either make the deal or you don't make the deal. When it comes to Shadchanus, if the Chasman Kala, they don't get married, you don't necessarily get payment. But when other people pay you for that, they say that's supposed to be for all the missed opportunities that didn't work out for all the Melis. But we don't know how the things work out. But either way, this is considered a very, very big inyan that Kadosh Baruch Hu himself makes zivugim, and a person also should be involved, and the money that's gained, that's paid for this, and it's money, we'll see how the halacha works exactly, it's considered money that becomes biyashus. If you look at number four, this is a gemara you're probably all familiar with. We sing it on Shabbos, parts of this gemara. The gemara says, cheshbona shel mitzvah mutar lechashbon b'shabbos. You're not allowed to make calculations on Shabbos. You can't describe, you know, cost of things, you want to plan to build this and then make that. But it has to do with the mitzvah. You're allowed to talk about numbers, a few $1,000 for this, and for the flowers, and for the band, and for the food. That's allowed when it comes to a mitzvah. And what's an example of cheshbono shel mitzvah, says the Gemara, at the bottom of number four? The Gemara says, V'tana d'beit menashe, mishadchin al tinokos li'aris b'shabbos. You're allowed to talk about the various calculations necessary for making shiduchim. That's a cheshbono shel mitzvah. It's a mitzvah. You're involved in helping a husband and wife get married. You're involved in having you know, having children and continuing the yeshiva olam. And therefore, these are one of the types of cheshbon shel mitzvah that's permitted, actually, on Shabbos. So we see it's a big inyan. There's a mitzvah involved. The Kadosh Baruch Hu spent his time doing so. And therefore, one should certainly focus his efforts, if he has the ability to do so. I was zochel only to do it once. Mikey's brother. I was a shadchan for Mikey's brother. So that was the only one time I was zochel. I probably set up a few other people since then. Was never my strong area. Doesn't mean I shouldn't get involved in it. It certainly takes a lot of time. And people are very good at these things, but great Rabbanim were involved in this over the course of time. So take a look at number five. So it's a little strange thing. You imagine a person, a person asks me to give a shiur. So I ask for money. A person gives me, it's very uncomfortable for me to ask to give a shiur, to ask for money. Even if he offers me money, I'll say, no, I'm not going to take the money for it. If he gives me money, so then I'll take the check, but I won't ask for it, nor will I say yes if he wants to offer. So you're involved in a shidduch. It's very uncomfortable to say, now pay me the money, for making the shidduch. So is it right to ask for money? Is it right to give money to the shadchan? You think he's involved in the Shem Shemaim. So why should the person collect any money for this? So the truth is, it's brought down in Choshen Mishpat that the shadchan does deserve money. If you look at number five, the Rama writes, Rama writes, Hashadchin havi kimo sirser. What is sirser? Sirser is a broker. So a guy's in a deal and he's selling a property, selling a house. He takes whatever, a few percentage points of whatever the sale goes for. A guy is getting a mortgage for someone, so he gets a percentage or whatever the fees are. There's a brokerage fee that a person collects on this. So a Hashadchin is no different. He's a businessman. He's a businessman, which is fine. It's okay. Just like there's a shidduch when it comes to a house and a certain person. There's a shidduch trying to, to being a person's job, a hunter or a house hunter. There's a job in finding a chasen and kala. Just because it's a Jewish thing, it doesn't mean a person shouldn't get paid for this. Being a doctor, a person's a doctor, so you shouldn't get paid because you're supposed to help give a person refuah. Oh, it's a mitzvah to rap or you rap. You give a person their food. Don't collect the money. No, a guy spends time. A guy goes to school. It's energy and efforts and his knowledge. He deserves payment. So just because you're involved in something that's a ruchnis doesn't mean a person shouldn't get paid. You're going to invite a guy to come play at your wedding and sing at your wedding. Don't pay him because this is ruchnis. It's a chas and a kala. They're getting married. Don't get paid. Of course you should pay the band. You should pay the caterer. You have to pay. So why should the shadchan be any different? So he says a shadchan is a sirser. He's a broker. And a broker gets paid. And the halachas of brokers is all found in Siman Kuf Pehe. So what are some of the halachas of getting paid as a shadchan? So Rama writes, Hashadchan havi kemo sirser, v'mashadchan rotze sheishlamu lo miyad schar shadchan. So let's say the shadchan wants to get paid immediately. I want to get paid right now. V'bailim einim rotzen l'shalem ad hanesun. But the bailim said, listen, we're not paying until the wedding happens. So we don't know. They might be engaged. It's very, very nice. But things have happened. We're not going to pay you until we see you walk down the aisle. That's what we're waiting for. So who's right? Talay b'minag medina. When it comes to brokers in general, all depends on what the minag medina is. A common shaila that comes up by, let's say, real estate brokers. So let's say someone shows Reuven a house, looks at it, he makes an offer, doesn't make an offer, he doesn't buy it. 2 years later, another broker takes him to that same exact house, and he buys it. Does the first broker have rights to that fee? I showed it to him first. So why are you paying the second one? I'm the first one who introduced it to you. So the way it works, it's all dependent on the minhag hamedina, depending on the industry standards. Sometimes they're contracts, and sometimes there's a certain understanding. So I don't know what the exact contracts for real estate brokers, but oftentimes I think it's like 6 months, maybe 12 months, that you can't look at a house unless it's me. If you want to come back to this house, you must have me take it. But sometimes there's a certain understanding in the industry of how the minhag works, of who you owe the money to. So it says the Rama, it's no different when it comes to a shadchan. It's all taloi b'minag medina, whether you pay right after they get engaged or maybe only after they walk down the aisle. Now, who pays? So who's responsible to pay? Is it the chasan and kala? Do they pay? Are the parents who pay? So it seems from most of the poskim that the parents are the ones who have the responsibility to pay. This goes back to what we saw a few weeks ago. That's the father's obligation to make sure he marries off his children. So part of that obligation is financially, to make sure he pays the broker, he pays the sirser, he pays the shadchan. So it's the parent's obligation. Now, in the instance where the parents refuse to pay, it's a debate whether now the chasan and kala have to pay. That's unclear. Machlok is posted. If there's no parents in the chasan and kala acting on their own, or the yesomim, so then the chasan and kala, they have to pay. But it's a real din. There's a requirement to pay the shadchanis to the shadchan. He goes on to say further in the Ramah, in a place where there is no practice, hadinim habailim. So the bailim win, meaning the bailim say, we are not paying until that we see them walk down the chuppah. In these places where the practice is, they don't pay until the actual marriage. Let's say, sometimes we know, chasan and kala get engaged, and they break the engagement. So do they pay or not? So they say, if the practice is to pay only at Nisuin, at the chuppah, so then the Paturim Habaylim Midashalim Laschar, because the chiv of the payment didn't kick in to the chuppah. They broke the engagement. Chuppah never happened, they're Patur. Unless they made such a Tanai. But let's say the practice is that they pay at engagement, and let's say they didn't pay yet. And then the engagement was broken. The poskim say they have to pay the shadchan, which is a strange thing. The shadchan gets paid, even though the chasan kala broke the engagement. Now, of course, the shadchan should have some rachmanas. I don't know how the professional shadchanim work. I would imagine many of them would just be mochel b'davar. Who knows? It's a business also. They need to make money. They put a lot of time and effort, and who knows what they would say. But mikra din, the parents, in a very strange way, if the custom is to pay an engagement, and the engagement was broken, they have an obligation to pay the shadchan nonetheless, unless he's mochel b'davar. Now, many posts, there are many cases that I actually came across a sefer, an English sefer on the halacha of shadchanis. It's a very, very nice sefer. A lot of details, incredible stories, like really funny stories. I don't know if they're true at all, but he was talking about one maisa about there's a girl who was taking the subway in New York City, and she was very nervous to sit in the subway trains, as many people are nervous, so she always sit apparently in the front where the conductor would sit, a little sefer there from the crazy people. And every single day, she'd be sitting there, and she'd be saying her tillim. And she became friendly with this Geisha conductor. And then he says, you know, there's a guy who, you know, in another train, he also sits here like you in the front. He just reads from a book also. The two you should get, here's his number. I got his number. Call him.
Yeah.
And she's like, I'm not calling. I'm from the bar park. I don't call guys. She just give him a call. And the guy was pressuring. And finally she called him up. And the guy thought he was crazy for calling her. And at the end of the day, they ended up getting engaged. And they got married. And the question was, is there an obligation to pay the conductor, the non-Jewish conductor? He's Mezavik Zivugim. He was involved in the Shadchanus. So Poskim talk about such shilas. And many interesting shilas have come up in terms of Shadchanus. Thank you. I'm going to choke it if I speak, but I'll take it afterwards. Thank you. So it's a wonderful book. It's a very nice book and with great shilas. So I'm not going to go through all these fascinating shilas, but it is discussed. Just the other day, a person, I'm teaching chasm classes to someone, and he wanted to know who he owed Shadchanus to. So one person made a recommendation first, but didn't do anything about it. Then someone else made the same recommendation, and they acted on the second recommendation. But someone else was the one who actually made the Shadchanus, so who exactly gets the payment? So let's go through some interesting sources. It's not always clear-cut, but just through a few tshuvas, get the mind thinking a little bit. It's not just so simple, yes, Shadchanus, no Shadchanus. It really requires some understanding. So look.
What is considered the melacha of Shadchanus? Making a recommendation, you know, to the two friends who have two other friends, you know, they say, oh, you know, these guys would be good together. So, and the girl says to her girlfriend, you know, my guy friend is going to recommend this guy who is his guy friend. Is that Shadchanus?
So we'll get to some examples. The Aruch HaShulchan might help a little bit about defining who the individuals are of Shadchanus, or who the Shadchan is. To look at the Chuas Vahanagos or Shtermach, where Shtermach writes in number 6, look at the underline. Amnan HaBaal Din. The Baal Din was towing Shekan Lo Nehogin L'Shalom L'Shadchan. There's Machlokas, the Shadchan wanted to be paid. He wasn't a professional Shadchan. And the parents didn't want to pay. They said, we live in a place where you don't pay. Svardim don't pay Shadchanus. It doesn't exist by Svardim for the most part. The Ramah brings it down, but it doesn't exist by the Svardim. Now, it could be the practice has changed, but Mikar Din Svardim don't pay Shadchanus. So they're very cheap Svardim sometimes.
No.
So Shekan Lo Nogin L'Shan L'Shadchan. No, where I come from, we don't pay Shadchanus. V'savarhu, she'ashadchan niskavin l'mitzvah, o'asa mitoch yedidus. He thought his friend was being a nice guy. He didn't think he was looking to make some money. My friend set me up. Ava kamur hemes, shenena v'roi l'sham makach. But in the end of the day, you benefited. You married off your son. You married off your daughter. You have to pay. You pay for the service. Pay for the time. Uma gam shemekubal, it's accepted. Shilapamim imlo mishalmin l'shadchan hamagia lo apidin. Sometimes, if they don't pay the shadchan, sometimes it actually could cause some type of fighting, some damage in the relationship. So apparently the tzaddikim talk about that if the shadchanus wasn't paid, it could affect the relationship. Or perhaps it might affect having children. I know kama tzaddikim shenogu lishol as mishabalem shein yiladim. People had come, and they weren't zochet the children, and the tzaddikim would ask them, Shilamta Shadchan? Did you pay the Shadchan? That was the first question they would ask sometimes. V'chein, im ha-shemos b'ksuva nichtavu shlo k'din l'pamim zemakiv, sometimes the way the name was spelled in the ksuba. U'mihu ha-minag b'makum kavua lo l'shalim lo nuchal l'chayim l'sham. If it's a place where the practice is not to pay, from the choshem mishpat perspective, we can't obligate them to pay. So we can't obligate a person to pay shadchanus if it's a makom where they don't pay. However, shemati, I heard mipi yedidi hagra rumflar zetzal b'shem hakadosh ha'admor ba'aron rokeach mibels demi shemeshadech achayim l'shem shemayim. A person who invests his time and efforts to meshadech husband and wife chasan and kala. Person, l'shem shemayim, not for money, l'shem shemayim. Zoche b'zeh li'yiladim tovim. Such a individual be zoche, the children who are wonderful in the midos and yishemayim and so on. Vimkein, l'chora roi limno likach schar. Person should hold back, refrain from collecting schar. You're allowed to, mikar din, you're certainly allowed to. And people who make a profession out of this, they sure, that's how they make money. But a person who's not doing this as a profession, he already has money. He has a parnasa. He does this, even though he might spend a lot of time on this. It's suggested that don't take for schar like the Sfardim, do mamish l'shem shemayim. About efsher, she'akavanim b'l'shadeich l'shem shemayim, who rak ba'ofen shebe'emes daito shezel ahachitov. What does Shem Shemayim mean? Shem Shemayim can mean, I'm not doing this for money, I'm doing this for Shem Shemayim. But really Shem Shemayim means, do you really know that this is best for them? My person could say, I have a lot of pride, I married off Mikey's brother and his sister-in-law, I did it. You could take covet in doing that, honor and respect. But is that the best? Do I know that's the best? Shem Shemayim means, do I really think that these two are best for each other? You could sometimes, when it comes to a house, when I was, my wife and I spent many months looking for a house in Passaic. We didn't find the house, Baruch Hashem. We ended up here instead. Spent 10 months looking for a house. And there was a certain broker who tried showing us houses that had we moved to this house, it would have been terrible for us. Sometimes brokers are looking just to make money. They're not looking for what's best for you. They tried showing us a house that was like 25 minutes from the Jewish community that we didn't know any better. We were trusting this person. So what the Shem Shemayim means is, as a broker, as a sirsur, as a shadchan, is this the best relationship? Not about money or not money. But is this really the best? From what you could tell from this boy and girl, is it the best thing? Shezeu hachi tov, umatim l'shem, v'zeu l'shem shemayim. Lazug zivugim kiraton yisbarach shema. Shem shemayim means just doing this, that you really, honestly, objectively think that this is a good relationship. Aval acharkach, he writes, yuchal shuv lidjosh kesef amagilo api din kathirso. He says there are two steps here. Step one is, if you want to be a shadchan, do it l'shem shemayim. The Shem Shemayim means, do you really think this is best for boy and girl? Second step, once you've established it is, he felt you are allowed to actually collect money afterwards. It's you spend time on this. You should get paid for this. But he does have that line that some would refrain from getting paid because they really mamash want to do this l'shem shemayim. But again, the Maharil collected money for shadchanis. Other great tzaddikim accepted money for shadchanis. There is a big inyan. So now, who exactly is the shadchan? I mentioned before that sometimes it's hard to know who the shadchan is. Is the guy who made the suggestion, the person who did the actual calling and started arranging things? Who is the shadchan? So this is a very, very complicated topic, but I'm going to just share the Aruch HaShulchan with you as just some thoughts to have in mind who might be considered the shadchan. So Aruch HaShulchan writes in number 7, that Kishirabim Heim HaShadchanim, when there are many shadchanim or asir surim or brokers involved, Ein Bazeh Dinam Kvum B'Takanos. There's no set way to define who's the right shadchan, who's the primary shadchan, but he gives you a couple of terminologies to work with. He says, hamaschil, the one who initiates, and v'hagomer, the one who completes, chalkum b'neim, they should divide amongst themselves, whoever started and whoever completed. V'emtsaim, those who are kind of in the middle, lo yitlu klum, they shouldn't take anything. Why? D'medina, ha'ikr, hu ha'gomer maschil, the one who starts the process, the one who finishes the process, they're the ones who, the bookends. They're the main players here. Kevin shehu atziya ha'inyan ro'ay lavo alschar. So who's a maschil? The guy who made the suggestion. I suggested that, Reuven and Leah should get married. They should date. It's my suggestion. I'm called the maschil. Aba ha'emza ma'asa. So I wasn't the right person to make the suggestion. I made the suggestion. I thought this was a good idea, but I didn't go through. So I said, listen, I have a friend who's a cousin of her and whatever. You're a good person. You know them both. Can you please set them up? He's the emtsai. And another guy at the end, he did all the work. He completed everything. So I'm the maschil. I made the suggestion. There's a middleman, and then there's the gomer. So really, the maschil should get paid, and the gomer, the emtsai, was just, I was using his or her time just to make the initial phone call. So he says, aval emtsai ma'asa. What did the middle guy do? Nonetheless, no gal malitain ktsas chayla gam lemtai. Give a little bit to the emtsai. What doesn't hurt? You're spending a few $1,000 on a wedding, so give a couple $100 to the middleman, whatever the prices are. So I mentioned, I had a question before the other day that there was a maschil, and there was like a second maschil, and then there was a gomer. Everybody involved should have a little something. More for the initial maschil and the gomer, but these halachas are not clear cut. So let's just jump now. Aruch HaShulchan deals with other cases, but that's the basics of a maschil and a gomer. Jump now to the Darchei Tshuva, the Munkacher, and then we'll finish with a very nice piece from the Baal Shem Tov. The Munkacher writes, what about the following case? Could a person collect money or even allow to make a shidduch for non-Jews? Is that allowed? We mentioned before the case in the subway where the non-Jew was the shadchan for the boy and the girl, for the Jews. But could you have a Jew be a shadchan for non-Jews? Why not? Look what the Darchei Tshuva writes in number 8. He says, "Ulezavik zivugim mikusim yesh lestapek im sharia ola." Say, I don't know. Let's say you have a coworker, you have an employee, someone who you know. He's a nice guy. He's a nice girl. What could be bad about setting them up? They also want to be happy. There's also a concept of bringing people into the world. So is that a good thing or a bad thing? So he writes, Matasi the Marm Chalava, the Chuvas, he found in these Chuvas, Shekasav Shenagu Behem Heter. People practice, the practice is to be Mekel, to set up even Goyim. V'hanach lehem liYisrael mutav shiu shogim. It sounds like it's not the right thing to do. But better that they're shogim, and better that they don't know better, because if I told them that they're doing the wrong thing, they wouldn't listen anyways. It's a mutav shiu shogim, and not to say anything. That's what the Marm Chalava writes. Quotes from the Chavaz Yair. Shein lilmo bizeh. There's a Gemara in Avodah Zarah that tells us that a Jewish doctor, is not allowed to help deliver a non-Jewish baby. You can't bring non-Jewish babies to the world. So one might think that if you can't bring a non-Jewish baby into the world, you shouldn't be meshadich, the boy and girl, because that's eventually going to have children as well. So Chavaz Yair writes that ein lilmo mizeh dehu adin asur lazavig begoyim. Just because you can't deliver a child doesn't mean you can't make shidduchim with him. He says, "Delo adif, it's no worse or better mimasha asur lahanik laholid than nursing or delivering a child. Dimizavig mi yemrat shetolid. Firstly, if you make a shidduch with two goyim, who says that they're going to have children? Maybe they won't be zochav. Maybe they won't want to have children. V'hi gam rachuk, it's very far away. Who is greater than the Ramban himself? The Ramban himself was a doctor and was involved in delivering non-Jewish babies. So he says, in the end of the day, there certainly are leniencies to allow of shidduch and making a shidduch between a goy to help deliver their children. He writes at the end of the Chavaz Yair, "Kibalti mi pigdolim v'zakenim kemesasik be'elo lo yatsanaki." Person who involves himself heavily doesn't escape clean. It's not an area a person should be spending his time. It's not the worst thing in the world. But it seems that that should not be a person's emphasis on making shidduchim of goyim. So then he writes, maybe there's a kula. Because what's the reason why? If the Gemara says you're not allowed to deliver a non-Jewish baby, so how come a Jewish doctor is able to deliver a Jewish baby? And the answer is because, one, he gets paid for it. He makes money off of it. And number two is eva, animosity. It could lead to hatred. It could lead to terrible chil Hashem. The Jewish doctor's in the North Shore, walks in a non-Jewish lady, she's about to give birth, oh, I'm out. And he leaves it, that would be terrible, chil Hashem. Who knows what else it will lead to? It could lead to riots. So because of eva, because he gets paid as well, you're allowed to. So if it will lead to eva, let's say you're a known shadchan, you're a guy who could read people's personalities. You have a guy walk up to you, and you can make a shidduch with a girl easily, and everyone knows about you. So the guy want to use your skill set. So if you were to lock the door, not let the goyim in, if that would lead to an eva, so then that would perhaps be a heter. But no one really exists like that. There's no shadchan. Like he knows people, goyim and Jews alike. So I don't think this is really a relevant case. So what comes out from this, a person should not spend his time on making shidduchim of goyim, something interesting to keep in the back of the mind. But let's just finish off with a very nice piece from the Baal Shem Tov. We start off by talking about from Kluger that the greatest shadchanis of all time was perhaps HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael. That Moshe Beinu was the seerser. Moshe Beinu was the broker. He was the shadchan between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu with the Torah. So the Baal Shem Tov writes, I was learning Kesher Shem Tov over Shabbos, and I happened to just come across this piece. So I figured it would be a nice thing to share and to finish off, to cap off today's discussion. So it says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who's Nikri Ish. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is called man. He's called Ish. Shu Ish Mochama, he's called Ish Mochama, he's called the man of war, the warrior, HaKadosh Baruch Hu fights on our behalf. V'Yisrael Nikram Isha, and Klal Yisrael, we're called women. We're called the woman, we're the wife. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the chasen, and Klal Yisrael is the kala. V'zeo Shekasev HaIsha Nikneis L'Baila, the Mishnah tells us that a woman is acquired by her husband. Shu Nikran Isha Kaviyacha, so we're called the wife. We're acquired by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we are the wife. B'gimel D'Racham, the Mishnah says there are three ways, three paths to get married. Kesef, Shtar, and Bia. So he explains each one. Baal Shem Tov explains, first way is B'Kesef. Kesef is B'chinas Chesed. Yemei HaChesed, Shekadosh Baruch Hu Messiah B'chazdo Agado B'tchila. First, Kadosh Baruch Hu helped us. He took us out of Mitzrayim, through the Midbar, eventually to Kabbalah Satorah, Har Sinai. Vaz Kosef, the word Kosef, Kesef means to desire. Kosef v'choshek u'mislahev b'saraso v'avodas yisbarach. So the first thing that took place there was the kinyan of Kesef, which had this strong desire to be close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rekosef v'choshek mislai b'sarasa. B'zeo nikra gadlus rishon. That's the first level of maturity. Gadlus rishon is when we fell in love with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. He took us out of Mitzrayim. He saved us. He was our hero. And he led us through the Midbar. V'acharkach nistalik zeh. But then it left. V'nikra yimei katnas. These are languages those who learn the Svarim should be familiar. There's mochen de gadlus, mochen de katnas, which means when a person has an inspiration, like Leil Seder, for example, is considered mochen de gadlus. You have this heightened level of kedusha. You reach the highest level of Leil Seder, of the inspiration, and then by morning you lose it, you go back to katnas. But the katnas wants to get back to the place where it once was. Or, for example, a child, the fetus in the mother's womb, learns kol tarkula, that's gadlus, and then it forgets everything, you go back to katnas, but the idea is to try to get back to the level of gadlus. So the first thing is when HaKadosh Baruch Hu saved us, the kesef, the kosef, the choshek, that was the gadlus that we fell in love with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But then there's a certain level of distance. The gam she'eno kosef v'choshek, even though we didn't have that perhaps desire, that same love, the same ambition and passion, mikomakom al tzara hechrich tzarech ledavik atzmo, we still needed to, from like an agreement. We were married to Hashem now, we were stuck. We were stuck ledavik atzmo b'shtar, with the agreement we had with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, which is the osios haksuvim b'sefer shenikra shtar. Right, the ksuva is the shtar, and that's what the Medrash says is the luchos. The luchos was the ksuva. It actually brought down that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu broke the luchos, so now he ended our relationship. It was some type of divorce. So the interesting question they talk about, so we got married a second time, Yom Kippur, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What? I said Moshe broke the luchos. He broke the luchos. And that was breaking of the ksuva. That was ending their relationship. So now the question they ask, we got remarried Yom Kippur. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu remarried us. We're the grusha. Now HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a Kohen, Chazal teaches. So how could the Kohen marry the grusha? So the Medrash says, since the ksuva, the Gemara in Bava Kama tells us, that there's a letter missing. One of the osios of the alabes is missing from the first luchos. There's no letter tes in the first luchos. The Gemara in Baba Kama says this. The tes, letter tes. There's actually an interesting Gemara there. They ask one of the Amoraim, why is the letter tes missing from the first luchos? He says, before you ask me why, ask me if. I don't even know if it's missing. He didn't know the luchos by heart. You see from there that the Amoraim didn't know Tanakh, certainly not even the luchos, Kavachomer of Tanakh by heart. So they have, either way, the letter test was missing, and since the letter test was missing, it was a pasuk ksuba. Pasuk ksuba, so they were never married in the first place. So they were never a grusha. So either way, we were stuck in this marriage with the osios of the Torah, the shtar, and we accomplished that, b'limud Torah, bein tefillah, we talked to Hashem with davening, we learned our Kadosh Baruch Hu's Torah. Kasher kibalti mimori bal shem tov, that's the shtar. And then, after the shtar, after we follow all the halachas, we learn through the Torah, we daven the tefillah, then we get back to the high level of the kesef, right? We had this. We learned Torah in the mother's womb. We were born. We forgot everything. That's katnus. We're stuck in this relationship with a star. We can't break out of it now. But as we continue to grow and we continue to learn more and more, and we learn the Torah, that gets back to the mochem de galus. We're able to get to the levels. So he writes, lisaneg bo ayde shebo hamochen b'torah v'tvila. We begin to enjoy the Torah. We begin to enjoy the tefillah. Once Rav Neventhal said that someone once asked him, so how does one enjoy learning Torah? He said, it took me 20 years to fall in love with Torah. It doesn't just happen overnight. The guy goes there to Israel for a year or two to learn. He thinks he's going to fall in love with Torah. It takes time and effort and amelis. 20 years, he said. But when you get to that point, you fall in love, look what he says. We did kesef, shtar, and the bia. What's the bia? How do you even describe bia with the Kadosh Baruch? What does that even mean? That's called bia. When you learn HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah, you daven in such a way with such enjoyment. That's the bia with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And these are the three paths. So as we're just a week away from Shavuos, we're talking about the Shadchan, this Moshe Benu being the Shadchan from us, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Chasen, the Kala, the Isha of the Ishto, that this is going to be hopefully the night of Shavuos is the Leil Chuppah. That's Leil Chuppah. That's Lishanig B'Torah Tefillah. The Torah is the whole night, and then Tefillah, Shavuos morning, is the completion of the Gemar B, if you will. So we should be Zohar this year, we should really feel that tainug, that enjoyment of the close relation with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. And we should be Zohar through our Limud HaTorah, through our Tefillah, that all those who need to get married, all these Zivukim should find their Shidduch. And we should be Zohar to have a Kabbalah Torah like never before.